If you will just join me in agreement. Say, Father, we want to hear what your Spirit is trying to get through to us. Sometimes there are obstructions. We want them out of the way. We want ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart to perceive what your Spirit is trying to get through to me. Amen?
Amen?
We're going to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. When I got this word this morning, I said, but Lord, we've been here before. How many know sometimes you have to repeat to a child because their focus is on themselves and not on what you're trying to tell them?
Amen.
How many have ever tried to get through to a child and they can't hear what you're saying? Mm-hmm. Well, sometimes I'm that child.
Amen.
And Peggy, you're probably going to enjoy this. Verse 2 is the one that really pushed. And I said, okay. It says, he is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So what are we talking about? Chapter 3, verse 26. Chapter 3, verse 26. That's where we're going to start. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Notice it's through faith in Christ Jesus. It's not something that you will be able to tangibly understand until you decide to develop your faith and believe who he has made you to become. Okay? For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with the anointing. Now I'm going to change a couple of words. For all of you who were baptized into the anointing have clothed yourself with the anointed. Who's the anointed one? The Messiah. He has clothed us with himself. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. So stop trying to argue about men are better than women and women are better than men. Because from God's perspective, you are all what? Sons.
Huh.
Takes all the pressure off. Amen? If his opinion is that we are all to be sons, then let's stop this silly arguing about this one is better than that one's better than this one. I'm greater, you're greater. Silly, silly stuff. We are all spirit beings living in an earth suit.
Amen.
Thank you. Look at your neighbor. Say, enjoy the suit. It's only temporary.
Praise the Lord.
Yes! There will be a resurrection. Thank you. Watch now. I'm going to repeat verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Why should we be called heirs to Abraham? Because he was the first to believe and have faith in the God of the promise. He's the first man and the father who made a decision to believe God's opinion rather than his own body and his own circumstances. And so we are what? Yeah, we're heirs. we'll inherit what God had promised him. And you know, when we look at that, we say, oh my God, when is it going to happen? Well, verse 29. Again, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What I am saying is that as long as the heir is a child, he is no different from a slave. Although he owns the whole estate, he is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. The time is not set by you. Your heavenly father has set a time for you to be lifted up. Now, I could go into details about my brother being held in the middle of the air with a wire from a helicopter.
Jesus.
I could say that. And he probably would find himself uncomfortable. But I know what it feels like. I've been there. And it's very strange and it's very odd to be able to finally say, okay, God, have your way. It takes everything within you.
Amen.
To make that decision.
Amen.
And it starts with a decision. And it's a decision that you have to really weigh out. Because you know what? It's scary to follow the living God.
Amen.
Jesus had a problem with it. Because I believe Jesus in the garden was hanging just like that. Hmm. And he finally said to Father, okay, you know, you're not giving me any options here. But I'm going to go with your plan. Verse 2 again, he is subject until the time set by his father. So also, when we were children, we were in slavery under the basic principles of the world. When we're following and flowing in the world, anything goes. And there's no obstructions. This past week, I had a young man that was in a very difficult space. He and I talked for quite a while, and he was ready to give up on Christianity. He said, I asked Jesus to come into my heart. My girlfriend left me. It's horrible. I wish I never did it. And I tried to remind him that when he made the decision that he was now a new creation, and yeah, he said, but all hell's broken loose. He says, everywhere I go, everything's going wrong. And I said, well, that's a season. And that season is not a comfortable one. I could have given him the scripture, but you know what? He probably would have thrown it back at me. And I reminded him that we didn't connect because it was a good idea. He shared with me that every time he would see me, he would hear in his head, that's a demon. So, what does that say about the Christian man or woman that follows God's plan? The enemy is going to whisper to them that you and I are demonic. Is it the truth? Why am I spelling that out? Because you need to be aware that there's a war going on against Christians. But God is going to have that helicopter whisk you back up to where you belong. Amen? Verse 4, but when the time has fully come, God sent his son. Why fully come? Why is it important to get that truth in there? The fully come part is something that happens as the Lord sees you and I to qualify for the next level of our walk with him. I had a challenging moment this week. I was pressed to listen to a little video about John Paul Jackson when he was recovering from the major surgery from last November. And I remember when we put out a plate and we collected some money and we sent it to Streams Ministries. And I remember the letter that the press was to, you know, it wasn't a long letter, it's just a little thank you note for what he had done for the body of Christ in New England and for me personally. And I reminded him that when he came to Northampton, he came more than once, but the time he came in 1988, he gave me a word that kept me alive. He gave me a word that was recorded on a cassette tape that I played over and over and over and over, over and over and over and over, so that I would not forget the promise that God had given. And that was that my little 5-year-old and 3-year-old grandson, who had been taken away and not being allowed to visit with us, that there would be a deliverance and that they would become my sons. And I really wasn't ready to adopt any children. But John Paul said to me, which I had never met him and he had never met me, you're going to have 2 more sons. They were with me yesterday. One has 3 little children, and the other one has a brand new baby girl. But that word of God that came out of the man of God who suffered terribly this past fall. He suffered with a 12-pound tumor on his thigh and his backside. And when they removed it, the doctor said there was only 2 options. One, to cut the leg off. The other was to do an incredible surgery, which they did. And many, many saints had prayed. And it was a cancerous tumor. It was growing extremely fast. He said the name of the tumor that he had. And it's extremely rare, but grows extremely fast. And every time he prayed and claimed God's promise, it got bigger. Why? So that his belief system, his trusting in God, would definitely not hold. The enemy had a hope. And that hope was that John Paul would give up on believing for his healing. It got worse and worse. He could no longer sit or walk. 12 pounds on your left leg is no fun. He said he did not hear 1 word from God. But one day, he got a telephone call from a man that he trusted. And the man said, I had a dream about you. And he describes the dream. And John Paul said, he wrote down the dream. And he would reread the dream. And repeat the dream. God was still in charge, even though he was in terrible pain, pain that he could never comprehend or understand. And I was reminded that when that same man of God had given me a word, I had to repeat that word over and over, that God would deliver those boys from a place of being abused and hurt. I'm trying to be careful with my words. And last month, I had a talk with my oldest grandson, because he's suffering. And I was trying to make him aware that he had to be careful what he was doing and how he spoke. And out of his mouth came the words that I had never really heard from him. I had heard it from others. You can hear it from all the neighborhood, but unless you hear it from the person, it's just another opinion. Because he said, the one that hurt me the most was my stepfather. That was the first time, he's 32 years old, first time he was able to speak of the pain that he went through between the ages of 5 and 10 years old. It took 5 years to get him freed up from the place of torment. Why? Until the time set by whom? By the Father. And the fullness of time came. But you know what? Those 5 years were hell. Do you ever try to hold on to a promise when everything around you says it's never going to happen? John Paul says every single day he repeated that dream in his head. He repeated it out loud and he promised God to obey and hold. And when the surgery was complete, the doctor says, guess what? In the very core of that 12-pound tumor, that's the only part of it that was alive. All the cancer cells were dead. And the fluid in the pouch never leaked out. So he was told he was free from cancer. He was told that he could go on now and be obedient. And at the time of this testimony, he was walking 1.5 to 2 miles a day. And the muscles and the tendons were coming back to life, even though they had to remove quite a bit of muscle. What am I saying? But when the times had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law. To redeem. That's what he does when he gives us a word. There's a word and there's a season of difficulty sometimes, challenging sometimes. All your promises that you have declared that are yours in God. They're yours, yes, but that challenging time sometimes is hell on wheels. And you need to declare what God said about you. That's why the importance of the word of knowledge and the visions and the words of wisdom that come out of each and every one of you for each other and you for me. Until the time fully, what? Fully is accomplished, okay? Fully come. Now, those who were born under the law are the Jews. And you and I in the religious system. How many know what I'm talking about? The religious system was full of rules and regulations. The law was for then. Now you are what? Redeemed. Again? Watch again. That verse 5 is probably the most important. To redeem those under the law that we might receive the full rights as sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, or my heart, or our hearts. The Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. God has done it, not you. God has made you an heir. You will receive what God has already paid for on that cross from Christ Jesus, the firstborn one. So my heart is saying to you, when you watch over the number of years that are set aside for that time to take place, you say, when is my time of deliverance? When is my time of freedom? How are you going to do this, God? Sometimes we don't like to hear the truth. Because the truth can say 5 years. I don't think I would have been able to handle the truth when I got that word that I was going to have to wait 5 years to watch my grandsons go through hell. You say, how did you do it? By faith. By believing the promise above the circumstances. I can remember, we took our grandsons, both of them, with their dad, on a vacation. And I'm not sure exactly how old he was, but the youngest one was probably about 5 or 6. And we went to a restaurant, and we were standing in line. And the youngest one presented himself to the waitress that comes and asks for your name and how many in your group. I didn't hear him. My son, who was right next to him, didn't hear him. And neither did my wife. Here's what came out of the waitress's mouth about 10 minutes later when it was our turn. The Reardon group can come forward. His mother had convinced him that he was no longer a Bergeron, that he was a Reardon, which was her second husband. We have a report card from the Springfield school system with his last name being changed to Reardon. Now, am I against the Reardon family? Absolutely not. But I can tell you what kind of confusion that creates in a child. If you want to try mental torment after you hear this, my son, who was at that time in his late 20s, early 30s, was so angry, I could see the smoke literally pouring out of his head. How could anybody do this to my youngest son? I can remember my wife and I, because I said, Gary, Rick, don't say anything. Let us deal with this, because I could tell he couldn't handle it. His anger was worked up. His emotions were screaming. And my wife and I sat down with that little boy and began to try to correct what had been inserted in him. He was victimized. You know, I'm trying to tell you something. Today he has his own little girl. She is so full of life, she is unbelievable. Just a few weeks ago, he was invited because he has a couple of three stepsisters and a stepbrother. And it was the first time that he was invited to one of his stepsisters because she has a little child. And it was that child's birthday. He said to me,
I can't believe that they really thought they couldn't invite me and my brother because we really weren't part of that family anymore, and they wanted to know if we were holding anything against them. The torment has not stopped. From the time he was 3 to the time he's 30, the torment has not stopped. He said, I said to them, I have no anger against you. He's been out of that house since he's 8 years old. But now we realize the torment wasn't just on my 2. It was on the other 4. I said, Jim, pray for them. He didn't respond. The time fully set to turn things right side up. I heard is now. Now close your eyes. Say, Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit.
You have a job.
There's
a time when God will step in to whatever circumstances I hold in my heart. And he's going to turn that stuff that's upside down. He's going to turn it right side up. Including our nation.
Including
this world. And the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our God. Our God has not forgotten what Jesus did on the cross. I have not lost track of the words of life that have come to set me free and to become the heir that Jesus paid for on Calvary. I give you praise, Lord.
I thank you
that you're still on the job.
You haven't forgotten
me.
You haven't forgotten
those that have suffered. Even those who tormented me.
I have set them free.
I claim my freedom.
I rejoice in the victory.
And I say, thank you, Jesus.
That cross was not for nothing.
I give you all the glory, Lord.
And I thank my Heavenly Father
for the victory that is mine.
In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.